Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is February 16th, 2024. Hi, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you doing this Friday?
Just great. Just fabulous. Just wonderful.
Glad to hear that. We're over halfway through February.
Mm-hmm. And it's a short month to boot.
It is short month. All the months are short anymore.
But we do get an extra day.
We do. Enjoy
we
it.
We do. Yes. That must have been the year I was born on that leap year to keep me at 39, you know?
Probably so. I'd say that's true. Yes, I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's go ahead and get to the gold and silver prices today. Gold was up $9 today at $2,024. Silver's up 51 cents at $23.46. Platinum was up $8,913. And palladium was down $2, $950. Paper markets, they all took their gains back this morning. The Dow was down 145 points, 38,627. The S&P was down 24 at 5,005. And the NASDAQ was down 130, 15,775. Asian markets, they were all green could be. European markets were all green could be. Even the 10-year yield was green. That was up 4.28%. Oil, that was green. That was up $1.15 at $79.18. Natural gas was up 0.029 at 1.61. And I guess the Middle East tensions are still simmering, and that is the reason they tell us that the crude oil has settled at the highest price since November. But I think there was some other things in there, Butch, that you had U.S. New home construction. Now, get this. U.S. new home construction sank at the start of the year by the most since the pandemic, indicating the recovery in the housing market will be gradual as many buyers await a further decline in mortgage rates. Well, how about instead of indicating the recovery in the housing market, how about that it's going in the opposite direction? If this is the... that the housing market will be gradual. How about which direction? Down, maybe? And I agree with the mortgage rates. But maybe there's other things going on in there also. Residential starts decreased.
Yeah, almost 15%. We'll cover it in a minute, too, because I want to share what the new trend is for young people in homes. But you go ahead.
Did you want me not to talk about this?
No, you're right ahead. You're doing a good job. It's going to add to it all.
Okay. Residential starts decreased almost 15%, 14.8 to 1.3 million annualized rate after an upward revision to the prior month. Multifamily home construction plummeted by more than 35%.
That's a chunk.
And the monthly housing start numbers are prone to revisions, but it gives you an idea of the picture of the problems in this era. And this isn't a new one. This has been going on for a very long time. Well, ever since the rates started going up. So again, it's just another area where it's going to add a lot of impact to a lot of other numbers. January wholesale prices. All right, wholesale prices rose more than expected in January. Of course, this is earlier this week we had the consumer price index showed inflation higher despite everyone's expectations. Wholesale prices rose more than expected in January. So it does kind of go against perhaps lowering rates this year. The producer price index, a measure of prices received by producers of domestic goods and services, rose 0.3% for the month, the biggest move since August. So excluding food and energy, core PPI increased 0.5%. That's after excluding. So inflation, folks, inflation is here to stay. I don't care what the Fed does. I don't care how they spin it. You know, it's here. Your prices aren't going to go down. They might hold steady, but that doesn't mean inflation isn't creeping in every single day. You just don't know it. And let's see if there's any other hot reports today. The 10-year yield did spike above 4.3% briefly before it closed. And the big news today, I think you already have it, is the Alexei Navalny. But I bet you have him to talk about.
No, I don't have that. I did read that, but you might want to cover that. That's a good point.
Well, he was a Russian. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things going on with that. You know, the timing is one thing. And I'm not here to start any type of conspiracies or anything like that. However, it is a very interesting
event,
the timing of it. And Alexei Navalny, he was a Russian opposition activist, and he spent most of he had been the most prominent critic of Vladimir Putin's regime for the past 10 years. Then they moved him. He actually surrendered. He went to Russia and they took him to jail, and they moved him to a remote Arctic penal colony. And he was only 47 years old, and a firebrand campaigner for what he called the beautiful Russia of the future. Navalny's detailed investigations exposing state corruption alarmed the Kremlin as much as his ability to inspire hundreds of thousands of people to protest against it. And his activism made him the leader of Russia's true grassroots opposition to Putin's more than two-decade-long rule, earning him ceaseless intimidation, threats, and attacks. If you remember, was it in 2020, he was poisoned?
Yep.
In August with a Soviet-developed nerve agent while he was campaigning in Siberia, in what he and Western governments said was an assassination attempt ordered by the Kremlin. So he was treated in Germany and then released. And he was jailed on his return to Russia 5 months later and ultimately sentenced to more than 20 years in prison. And he was moved to that colony in the Arctic Circle. So It's interesting. I mean, isn't there a lot of activists? And we need to find out more about him and his importance and why he is. Why, Butch, was he?
Yes.
Given the. And kudos to him. I'm not taking any of the, I mean, trust me, we need more of him in the world today. And but the outrage from countries surprises me, from the various countries and so forth. But anyway, it's just
Well, you know, I have to wonder, too, did it happen the way the news reports it, or are they just trying to make more enemies of Russia? I mean, you have to wonder about
that. I know. Especially when Harris is in Germany. I watched a little bit of her speech this morning, and it was really kind of funny. I was watching her speech on Fox News, and then when she started to turn it into a campaign mode, they switched her off. And I had a laugh. It's like, oh, just keep her on because I want to see her flub up. But she didn't flub. Well, from what I saw, she didn't flub up like she normally does. She wasn't cackling like she normally does. She was following script. But there was a couple of things that she said in there that kind of, well, she was talking about the things that the U.S. decides. The American people are not going to like it. They're going to be affected by it as the rest of the world. So it was, I don't know, it was a strange, strange speech, I thought. But anyway.
About everything they do and say anymore seems strange to me, but that's, you know, probably just me.
Well, you know, they do tell us what's going on. I mean, hey, they told us about the Ukraine war and nobody believed them. Even Zelensky laughed.
Yeah, he did.
Said it wasn't going to happen. So what did he know that nobody else knew? So.
That has to make you wonder why he didn't know and everybody else did. I mean, he was.
Or he knew, but he thought he'd. But he knew. I think he knew, but I think he knew he had the backing. So, hey, if you got if a bully is coming up to you and you got that guy standing behind you that's bigger than the bully, kind of laugh, don't you? Ha-ha.
Yeah. Uh huh. But I don't think they stopped to count the cost too much.
He didn't have to. He knew he had the U.S.
I know, but now I mean the cost of his country and his people. You know, that's that cost is way beyond money.
And one more thing I'm going to bring in. Did you see where the judge fines Donald Trump $350 million plus?
Yes, I saw that. Go ahead
and
share
that. Any bars from running New York businesses for 3 years.
Yep.
The sons have to pay $4 million each. And the judge stopped short of dissolving his businesses. And so there's still things, I think there's still things that are coming out. I don't think I don't know if those are all his fines or not, but he faces potentially $450 million in fines as bankruptcy looms.
You know, so. I don't know what to make of all this, Melody. I mean, from the day he got in office, before he got in office, they hounded him like a beagle on a rabbit trail, and they haven't quit. Ever. They haven't quit even when he was when he lost the election. They still didn't quit. I wonder he certainly is not a pure individual. I'm not saying that. But what if this could just be harassment to slow him down, discourage him? Or what do you think? Is just all political? I mean, what do you think is happening here?
I have no doubt that it's political. But I also have no doubt and he's probably guilty of something.
Oh, I'm sure. Which one of them aren't? Yeah.
And he has, I mean, I do believe, this is my vision of it. It's my opinion. I can't get in trouble. It's only my opinion. We know his first bankruptcy was bailed out by the Rothschilds Bank with his former Commerce Department head.
That's true.
Secretary when he was president. Wilbur Ross, I think, was his name. So there's ties there. Those ties don't go away. So
no, especially when you owe money.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a long time. And to be associated with Wilbur Ross, I think Wilbur Ross was put in there to track Trump. And I do think Trump has a little bit of a loose can, is a little bit of a, does what he wants to do. Regardless, I don't think he appreciates, he might have used the Rothschilds. We know he doesn't pay all his bills. We don't know if he might have stiffed them. We don't know. I mean, there's a lot we don't know. So, but I think that is the heart of it. And I think he screwed him. And I think he also has a lot of information on them. And I don't know if it's, so I think it was, if you do this, you know, we'll just show you the power that we have. And I don't think it has anything to do with Donald Trump wanting to be the leader of this country to, you know, be a, I think this is a bigger game that's being played between the people like, and I'm not saying the Rothschilds, but the people like that group, the elites, and Donald Trump and so forth. That's what I believe. I don't think it has anything to do with they're trying to stop him because, you know, he's going to clean the swamp. I don't believe that at all.
No. No, that's not going to happen.
So what do you think of my opinion?
I think your opinion is pretty much right on. I do. I just don't, I can't get it wrapped around, my brain wrapped around the fact that they harassed him from day one, still harassed him. Again, are they afraid of him at all? Are they trying to stop him? Is that really part of it? Or are they just trying to make, because it seems like the more they do to him, the more popular he gets. So I really don't know.
And that's just it. They wouldn't be doing it because, yeah, you're right. So it doesn't have anything to do with the people. It has absolutely nothing to do with the people of this country who support Donald Trump. Absolutely nothing. I think it's two powerful houses. You can, you know, but yeah, it doesn't, I don't think it's, I just think it's deeper than that.
I do too. There has to be more to it than they're letting us know.
Yeah. Just because they don't want him to be president of the United States. That's not the
real reason. No, it's not.
No.
Well, that's my opinion too. So between the two of us, we might have a half right opinion.
And you know what, Butch? We'll never know.
No, we probably won't know.
We'll never know. And but this is a step closer to my prediction. How many months ago?
Yep. Several months ago.
That neither one would be the nominee come November.
Well, I can see Biden not doing it, but I can't imagine who's going to take Trump's place.
And the thing of it is, and I know, you know, $450 million, he'll probably get that in campaign donations now. I'll guarantee you after this thing, I'll guarantee you his campaign donations, you know, increase. But he's a billionaire, so he has to unload a couple properties to pay this again. Let's put it all into perspective. I don't know how... You know, maybe since you owe that, maybe you would file bankruptcy so you don't have to pay it. I don't know. I don't know how all that works.
I don't either. That's above my pay scale, Melody.
Yeah. I don't know how many billions that he's supposed to have.
I wonder if he really is a billionaire. I mean, really. Those are questions I've asked myself before. Is he worth what he says he is? According to the news, he's not worth that much. But I don't know that. Again, this is all speculation. We just don't know.
No. I mean, if he has $1 billion, yeah, then he's in trouble. You know, he's real estate rich. He's billionaire on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, we're in the first break already.
Yes, we are.
So I hope you have lots of things. We'll be
right back. We got lots of stuff to talk about.
We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you. Shine it away. I'll be coming for your love. Okay. Take on me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, yeah, a lot of bizarre things happening today. And it's not even a Friday 13th is Friday the 16th. So, yeah, a lot of bizarre things happening today.
Well, let me start with something. It's not financial, but it's just so absurd, so insane, and so sadly comical that maybe gets somebody's attention of what insanity really is. Seattle English students in Seattle figures told it's white supremacy to love reading and writing. That's right. Students in Seattle English class were told their love of reading and writing is a characteristic of white supremacy in the latest Seattle Public Schools high school controversy. The lesson plan has one local father speaking out, calling it educational malpractice. And that's to say the least. But it's part of the Black Lives Matter at school week. This is 9 characteristics of white supremacy. And said that the worship of the written word is white supremacy because it is an erasure of a wide range of ways we communicate with each other. So now, Melody, if you like to read, you like to write, you're a white supremacist. I just want to let you know that. Be careful.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, that's, you talk about absurdity. I mean, is that a little bit absurd?
Absolutely.
Shit. Arizona State Senate, or committee, I'm sorry, Arizona Senate Committee passes bill to establish bullion depository and transactional gold-backed currency. We'll see. On Monday, an Arizona Senate committee passed a bill that would establish a specie-backed transactional currency and a state bullion depository. Senator Jack Kaufman introduced Senate Bill H1633 on February 5th. The proposed law would establish Arizona Bullion Depository. The depository would serve as safe storage for precious metals and would facilitate the issuance of state-minted gold and silver coins. I repeat that. Issuance of state-minted gold and coins, which is constitutional money, folks. Read it for yourself. Along with specie-backed transactional currency. On February 12th, Senate Finance and Commerce Committee passed SB 1633 by a 43 vote. The bullion depository would serve as a custodian, guardian, administrator of certain bullion and specie that may be transferred to otherwise or otherwise acquired by this state or an agency, a political subdivision, or another instrumentality of the state. The proposed law specifies that state treasurer may deposit a portion of state monies in the depository in the form of bullion. That bullion deposit is considered part of the state of the state's financial services. Private individuals and businesses will also be able to deposit bullion into the depository. The depository provisions are based on similar law that was passed in Texas and signed into law by Governor Abbott in 2015. The Texas depository received its first deposits in the summer of 2018. So interesting. We'll see. What do you think?
Well, there has been some states already that have purchased precious metals for various reasons and so forth. So, yeah, it's just, you know, what do you think?
If enough states would do that and sincerely mint and use it, they could change the economy, and whether the Fed liked it or not. If they got the true value of the money of the precious metals they were minting and goods, the Fed would lose use of fiat currency. We'll see. This next article goes along with something you said many times. Sorry, you can't have your gold. In this publication, we warn regularly of the risk involved in storing wealth in banks. They made the removal of your deposits increasingly difficult, in addition to colluding with governments to allow them to legally freeze or confiscate your money. To add insult to injury, they're creating reporting requirements with regard to the contents of safe deposit boxes and restricting what can be stored in them, again, at risk of confiscation. More and more, banks are becoming one of the more risky places to store wealth in any form. Not surprising, then, that many people are returning to those facilities that treat wealth storage the way the first banks did millennia ago, vault facilities that store your wealth for a fee but engage in no other banking activities. In suggesting to our readers that such facilities are a better bet, I've also repeatedly warned readers that many such facilities don't store actual physical gold. Now, folks, this is important. They instead provide a contract to you that states that they will deliver an agreed-upon amount of gold upon demand. The trouble with this idea is that it becomes tempting for such facilities to sign such a contract with you and collect the purchase price, but never actually purchase and store any gold. It's been estimated that the total value of worldwide value of such contracts equals 150 times the amount of gold in existence in the world. This is why it's imperative that you purchase only physical allocated gold. Repeat that last sentence. It's been estimated that the total worldwide value of such contracts already signed, folks, will deliver this gold to you upon demand. The demand for that gold is 150 times the amount of gold in existence in the world. So they can't deliver it. Melody said it. I've said it. When you get precious metals, get it in your hand and keep it in your possession. Melody, is that about as clear as you can get it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's a lot of these same guys who offer storage out of country and out of Timbuktu. It's like, don't do it. You don't do it.
Don't
as
leave
bad
it
as a wrap as banks get.
Yes.
I would rather, if you're going to store it anywhere, I would have my, well, you should, you live with it. You sleep with it. But if you were going to store it, I would rather have it stored at a local bank than someplace out of this country or in some of these depositories that have popped up by precious metals dealers across this country in the past 15, 20 years. I know I can go to my local bank. Yeah, and there's a risk. I get that. But the whole point when you do anything is knowing the risk. You can't make any decisions in life without knowing what the worst case scenario risk is.
That's true.
Because if you don't recognize that risk, guess what? You're open. So I would rather have metals stored at a local bank so that if somewhere something happened, I can go down there and get it out.
Yep.
Immediately. Yes, it could be on the weekend and I might have to wait till Monday. And yes, I might not be able to get, you know, it might be closed. That's the risk I take. But it's a less of a risk than having it stored in Timbuktu somewhere, you know, 100, 300, 500, 1,000, 2,000 miles away from me, that you're not even sure it's there. So which has the higher risk? So,
it's, so therefore, keep it in your possession.
Keep it in your possession. But I know some people can't do that. So why talk somebody out of purchasing gold and silver without offering them alternatives and explaining the situations to them? And that's what so many of these other people do. They say, don't do this. Okay, what are you supposed to do? A lot of people won't buy precious metals because they don't think they can handle it. They don't know where to store it. They don't know where to put it. Then they're sold the wrong product. You got a little old lady saying, you know, 85 years old who wants to protect her purchasing power, and somebody will push a bunch of silver on her. Well, an 85-year-old lady can't lift silver. That's not going to do her any good. So when you're looking to buy precious metals, you know, look at what your objective is. What are you trying to accomplish, and does it fit into your scheme of things? What are you going to do when you take physical delivery of it? And how are you going to do it? And keep it clean. People don't take care of their metals. It just surprises me how I get stuff sometimes. So, I'm done.
Well, that, again, folks, that's why I say call Melody. She will tell you the bottom honest truth. She's not going to try to talk and do anything that you shouldn't do. I mean, of course, the choice is still yours.
Absolutely.
But I trust Melody. I do trust Melody. Probably shouldn't have said that to her, but I do. But anyway.
Thanks. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. This next article by Michael Snyder. By the way, Michael will be on my broadcast Monday night, Bill. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good. Cool.
You will live in a tiny house. You will live in tiny homes and EVs and be happy. In recent years, van life, car life, and tiny homes will have all become extremely hot topics on social media. I shared a brief part of this idea, I think, but millennials and Generation Z have been particularly eager to try out these minimalist lifestyles. At a time when home prices have risen to absurd levels and the cost of living has become exceedingly oppressive, it can be very tempting to adopt a low-cost way of life. But it's also important to understand that the elite are very much encouraging these trends. If they could get most of us happily living in tiny homes and electric vehicles, they would be very pleased. You see, the truth is that the smaller our living spaces are, the less carbon emissions will produce, and that is precisely what they want. Today, millions of Americans cannot afford to purchase normal homes, so more of us than ever are turning to tiny homes. A tiny home can be anywhere from 100 to 400 square feet, and today Airbnb has thousands of such listings. It has been reported that 55% of tiny homeowners are women, and 56% of all Americans say they would actually consider living in a tiny home. The biggest appeal living in a tiny home is the cost. It has been estimated that the average cost of a tiny home is $52,000, and that is 87% cheaper than the average price of a typical U.S. home. And $52,000, I bought my home back in the 70s. It was not a mansion. I paid $28,000 for it, and I've done a lot to it since then. But that lets you compare today's inflation rate to what it was back in the 1970s. So to build a tiny home, my home, this house was started out 3-bedroom, 1-bath, and I've added some to it since then, but $28,000. And to build a tiny home up to 400 square foot would be $52,000. A lot of difference, Melody. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree.
So, folks, you got to think these things through. And it's a shame that, well, Klaus Schwab said you own nothing and be happy by 2030. We're talking about 6 years from now or less now. We will see. Talk about gold-backed currencies again. Zimbabwe will attempt to establish gold-backed currency. You know, I read all this, and it sounds promising and sounds good. And I've heard it before about other countries, but I've never seen it actually take place yet. Maybe I'll be wrong one day, but I'd like to see some countries actually do this and say they're going to do it and do it. Zimbabwe's government said Monday it's introducing a gold-backed currency to replace the country's dearly worthless dollar, with which most businesses have shunned, preferring the U.S. dollar or South African rand. Minister for Finance and Economic Development Mutlile Nkube told reporters in an online press conference that Zimbabwe was making the move to ensure sustained growth. Really, this is a quest for currency stability, Nkube said. What has emerged over the years is the U.S. dollar being the most dominant. Going forward, we want to make sure that the growth we have achieved so far, which is very strong, is maintained and even increased, he said. We can only do that if we have further stability in the domestic currency, and the way to do that is perhaps to link the exchange rate to some hard assets such as gold. He did not say when Zimbabwe were introduced the gold-backed currency. Since Zimbabwe's independence in 1980, the country has introduced new currencies several times after citizens and businesses shunned the previous money. The present-day currency, known as a dollar, bond notes or ZWL, was introduced in 2014. Within months, it started losing value, something economists attributed to the government overprinting notes and businesses failing to have confidence in the currency. It now trades at $20,000 for one U.S. dollar, so yeah, it's not worth very much. Will they go to gold backed? I don't know. It's a thought. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I do know they have an understanding of gold and so forth, but they're not going to go to a gold backed currency unless it's backed by the U.S. government. I mean, that's how they got out of their super high inflation back so many years ago. Is that, you know, they started bringing in the U.S. dollar and so forth. So they're kind of beholden to the U.S. So, and I mean, that's how these third world countries and so forth are run. You know, the U.S. went, and, you know, China's going in all these various countries and they buy them up, they create jobs and so forth. So they end up owning these. You know, I've heard that when there was a lot of these little islands in the Caribbean where China and Taiwan were in there, you know, bringing in stuff, building factories and putting people to work and everything, putting in ports. And it's like, you know, that's what they do. So those little countries and so forth aren't going to do anything without their permission. So it's bizarre. But so I don't know. Again, it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Is Zimbabwe a gold? I mean, do they have gold as a natural element that they can dig out of the ground there and use it? Or is that, I don't know enough about them to say yay or nay on that. I don't know.
Well, I know when they were going through their terrible time, so many, and it's still, I'm sure, a terrible time, but there was stories where, yeah, the kids would go down to the streams and look for gold so they could buy bread.
Wow. Okay. Oh. That sounds, I've always wanted to be able to do that. I've always wanted to be able to get a metal detector and go somewhere, just a metal detector, a little piece of gold. Always wanted to do that. Never got to do it, but always wanted to. That's beside the point. We'll move on.
It's really hard work.
Well, I'm sure it is.
Very hard work.
I think I would enjoy it.
It is fun.
Really?
Uh-huh. In Arizona.
Wow.
We used to pan for gold.
Did you do okay?
You get little flakes. Yeah. Just call 1-800-375-4188. It's a lot easier.
Probably cheaper in the long run, okay?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
A lot less work
and
intensive
and you'll save your back.
Good point. Okay. We got a few seconds before we go to break. I'll start this article. Gangs of South American thieves target Pennsylvania town. Now, folks, this is not on the southern border. Pennsylvania is north of me. quite a bit. And it's break time. We'll finish at the break.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. And I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What do you have next for us for this last segment of
it's
the program?
It's the last segment already. It's really went by
it
quick.
It is.
Anyway, businesses in a Pennsylvania town are experiencing a crime wave fueled by ongoing border invasion, according to reports. Again, this is hundreds of miles from the southern border, folks. Gangs of illegal aliens from South America are looting retail shops in West Whiteland, a township located approximately 30 miles from Philadelphia. Now, this is how I tell you, these people have nothing to lose. They come over illegally. They're criminals to start with. They have nothing to lose if they catch them. They're worse to get some jail time. They get a place to sleep. They don't care. But anyway, local police say they have been apprehending foreign suspects who have been stealing thousands of dollars of merchandise from department stores and other local businesses. They're taking advantage of coming to the U.S. and committing these crimes and being able to disappear to some degree, what West Whiteland Police Detective Scott Pizik told ABC6. Over the last month, we've had what we call South American theft groups. Pizik says that at least three such groups have hit the area in recent months. One suspect, an illegal alien from Peru, was caught stealing $17,000 worth of merchandise from a Kohl's in June. The man was subsequently deported but returned to the U.S. almost immediately. See, folks, they have nothing to lose. They kick him out and they're right back. It's easy pickings in this country. Anyway. Comments, Melody?
Yes, nope.
Doomed. Now, like this. Pay attention. I didn't write this. Doomed CNN forced to dramatically slice anchor salaries. Doomed CNN, a far-left propaganda outlet that spreads conspiracy theories and violence, is looking to cut more than $50 million in anchor salaries. Let's start with the current salaries. You're not going to believe how much these people are not even what he called them. I'm not going to say what he said. Are reporting paid per year. Anderson Cooper is $20 million a year. Wolf Blitzer, $15 million. Jake Tapper, 8.5 million. Chris Wallace, 8 million.
Wow.
John Berman, Kate Bolden, and Sarah Snyder, 1 to 2 million. Normal people watch these CNN losers operate and ask themselves, how can they lie so shamelessly? How do they live with themselves spreading all the hate, division, violence, and racism? Well, now you know. These soulless propagandists are bought and paid for. Interesting.
Wow.
Thomas Melody?
No, sir. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, the least paid is making $1 million a year. I believe I could squeeze by on that. What do you think?
Let me write you a check.
Okay. All right. I'll hold it till next Friday.
Okay.
Over 1 million Palestinians are about to be forced into Egypt at gunpoint. It must be clear that there is no room in this country for both peoples. If the Arabs leave it, the country will become wide and spacious for us. The only solution is a land of Israel without Arabs. There is no room here for compromises. That's Yusuf West said that back in 1970. He said that, folks. That's been 50 years ago. This was said. They're doing it.
Yeah.
The IDF's recent airstrikes in civilian areas in Rafah marked the beginning of the final phase of Israel's massive ethnic cleansing project. On Monday, Israel bombed a number of locations where Palestinian refugees were huddled in tents after fleeing Israel's onslaught in the north. Videos of destruction appeared on a number of Twitter sites, which showed a deeply cratered wasteland in the middle of makeshift encampments. Not surprisingly, women and children made up the bulk of the casualties, with no evidence of Hamas to be found anywhere. According to a witness at the site, body parts and carnage were strewn across the landscape. This is from an article in the World Socialist website. Israel launched a massive aerial bombardment in Rafah, the southernmost city in Gaza, on Sunday night until Monday morning, killing over 100 people. As the sun came up, the world was horrified by images of the mangled bodies of children and a chilling demonstration of what is to come in the weeks ahead. Over the weekend, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pledged to carry out a full-scale military onslaught against a besieged city, declaring our goal was total victory. For the Israeli people, the regime, total victory means killing as many Palestinians as possible and driving the rest from their homes. With a green light from Biden, Israel's commencing Rafah massacre. I don't think Biden gave him a green light. To be fair with Biden, I think he's tried to maybe have him back off a while. But they were said back in 1970 by Yosef Witz that they want nothing but they want all Arabs out, and Netanyahu said we'll not stop. We're going to have full scale victory, total victory, which means killing as many Palestinians as possible, and driving the rest from their homes. How much clearer can that be, Melody?
I don't know. Pretty clear.
I mean, they said it 50 years ago, and now they're doing it. As Israel corners Rafah, Netanyahu defies the world. The course of warnings is hard to ignore. International organizations, rights groups, advocates, and even a growing number of Western leaders are all urging Israel to refrain from launching a full-scale ground offensive on Rafah, the overwhelmed city on Gaza's southern border with Egypt. Close to 1.5 million displaced Palestinians are crammed in makeshift encampments there, the majority having fled other parts of Gaza already ravaged by the Israeli military campaign that followed the October 7th terrorist attacks by Hamas. In a Wednesday phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, French President Emmanuel Macron said Israel at risk a humanitarian disaster of a new magnitude. A joint statement from the leaders of Australia, Canada, and New Zealand said a military operation into Rafah would be catastrophic, and called on Israel to listen to its friends. The prime ministers of Spain and Ireland wrote to authorities in Brussels suggesting that Israel may be in breach of its association agreement with the European Union and demanding an urgent review. UN officials said the likelihood of UN officials said the likelihood of flagrant violations of international law, potential war crimes, mounting in a conflict that has already been seen more than 27,000 Palestinians killed, the majority of women and children, and a large chunk of Gaza's civilian infrastructure destroyed. The risk of commission of atrocity crimes should be full military incursion to Rafah take place is serious, real, and high. Alice Wormu Nduti, UN Special Advisor on the Prevention of Genocide, said in a statement. Okay. It's definitely heating up. It's really not looking good. And that should concern the world. Obviously, it's concerning the world. We got Australia and New Zealand and other countries and France saying, don't do it. Back off. Don't do this. They have a million and a half people cornered in the last city they can flee to in their own country. And they're going to wipe them out. And they said 50 years ago, we have got to get all the Arabs out of our country. And Netanyahu said, we're not stopping until it's all done. Total victory. Melody, I do believe that's a bloodlust that could lead to a lot more things. What do you think?
You know, it was interesting. I listened to a part of Harris's speech when she was over in Germany, and I think I mentioned this. That, you know, something is coming.
Oh, yes,
we're not going to finish. We're not going to finish this election year like a typical election year. Today was the first time she scared me more than anything because she was serious. I mean, she didn't cackle. At least when I cackled, I knew she was making a fool out of herself and nobody would pay her any attention. But today, I mean, yes, yeah, she read it line for line and didn't ad-lib anything from what I saw, a little bit that I did watch. But it's scary things are coming.
I'm not prophesying anything, but I certainly can predict some things. Between now and the election, there's a good chance that compared to what we have right now, all hell could break loose around the world. And right now we're watching refugees in other countries scrambling to go somewhere where they won't get killed. They've had no, I'm talking about right now about Gaza, but other places in the world also, in Ukraine, everywhere else. We see refugees trying to find a place to live where they can have a peaceful night's sleep and something to eat. We sit here in a good warm homes. With food on our table, family around us. And that's wonderful. That's blessed. That's great. That's beautiful. But folks, believe me, what goes around comes around. A nation that forgets God is turned into hell in Psalms 9:17. And America is going to pay. So now we're watching happen to other places where it never happened here. Oh, yes, coming. Any comments, Melody?
No, sir.
Egypt builds walled enclosure on border as Israeli offensive looms. Egyptian authorities, fearful that the Israeli military push further into southern Gaza, will set off a flood of refugees, are building an 8-square-mile walled enclosure in the Sinai Desert near the border, according to Egyptian officials and security analysts. For weeks, Egypt has sought to bolster security along the frontier to keep Palestinians out, deploying soldiers and armored vehicles and reinforcing fences. The massive new compound is part of contingency plans if large numbers of Gazans do manage to get in. More than 100,000 people could be accommodated in the camp, Egyptian officials said. It is surrounded by concrete walls and far from any Egyptian settlements. Large numbers of tents, as yet unassembled, have been delivered to the site, these people said, with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu saying this, his army will need to fight Hamas and Rafah, a Palestinian city on the Egyptian border. Egyptian officials think that a broad Israeli offensive could happen within weeks. In the event of a major exodus of Palestinians from Gaza, Egypt would seek to limit the number of refugees to well below the capacity of the area, ideally to around 50 to 60,000, Egyptian officials said. So, I don't know what to say.
Mm.
I don't know what to say. I really feel sorry for those people. I don't care what your background is, whether you're red, white, pink, or purple. I don't care who you are. They love their families. They want to be able to feed their families and live in peace. Who doesn't? Go ahead, Melody.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, everybody does.
It's just so sad. Hezbollah chief, the folks, this is nowhere near over. I see neither side really backing down. Except the ones caught in the middle. I just want them to go home. Hezbollah chief threatens more displacement of northern Israel residents as France delivers peace plan. Repeat that. Hezbollah chief threatens more displacement of northern Israel residents. France has issued a written proposal to Lebanon, which seeks to de-escalate the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon South, which stands on a preface of becoming a broader and deadlier war. The French plan calls for Hezbollah to remove its fighters a full 10 kilometers from the border, after which the government of Lebanon and Israel would enter negotiations on expanding a buffer zone in a gradual way. The document calls for these talks to begin 10 days after Hezbollah draw back from the border. The ultimate goal, according to the proposal, will be to achieve ceasefire based on a de-escalation zone, which expands 30 kilometers from the border up to the Litani River, based on a similar 2006 peace plan, which settled the war then. The document emphasized that this conflict risks spiraling out of control, urging the implementation of a potential ceasefire when the conditions are right, and calls for delineating this deconflicted land between the two sides. However, just hours after the French plan was reported in the international press, Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah gave a televised speech Tuesday and warned that Hezbollah will not stop its attacks on Israel troops until the assault on Gaza is ended. Neither side backing down. Mildy?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see any side back down.
No.
I think you're just going to, You know, and I think that's why they need all this money so much. And
it's so sad.
It is sad.
Well, anyway, I'll finish up then with a little short good news story here. And boy, this hour went by fast. I enjoyed the radio with you. It says the fast hour.
Well, it was fast. What a great way to end the week.
It is. Mm-hmm. Police officers deliver free firewood to elderly citizens without heat. I like this. This is a little town called Gallatin, Tennessee. The Gallatin Police Department went beyond their official duties to assist a 72-year-old resident during last week's freezing temperatures in Tennessee. The story began when the GPD received a distress call from a resident whose heating system had failed. Sergeant Woodard determined to help mobilize a team of officers and reached out to the Wayne Counts, a firewood supplier in the community. Despite the usual cost of firewood, Counts selfishly donated it to the cause. The officers delivered the firewood to the resident's home, ensuring she could stay warm through the cold spell. However, the kindness didn't stop there. Chris Alexander, owner of Alexander Mechanical and a local HVAC repair and construction company, caught wind of the story on Facebook and offered his assistance. Alexander quickly diagnosed the problem, purchased a new breaker, and installed it, restoring heat to the woman's home. The story highlights not only the dedication of the local police department, but also the strong sense of community in Gallatin. A simple act of kindness has the power to change a life. Very well said and very well done. God bless him for that. Melody.
Yes.
It's all yours.
What?
Whatever.
What do you mean it's all mine? Aren't you going to finish us out today?
Well, I guess I can. Only got about another 50 seconds or so.
Oh, no. You gave me important. A whole minute? You gave
a
me
whole a whole minute.
You never give me any time.
Well, I thought I'd have mercy on you today.
1-800-375-4188. That's what you want me to say, right? Is my telephone number? 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you give us a call. And we got some great pricing. And I think we're going to see, I think things are going to sort of spiral out of control pretty soon. And so enjoy it while you can, but get prepared. Give us a call. And we'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.